You know, I often think a lot of times, man, if we could do one thing at church, the greatest thing we could do is pray. We're going to talk about the subject of prayer tonight, but we're not going to just talk about it. We're going to spend some time in our teams doing that. And it's the passion of CTL that we spend time weekly praying. I'd like to just open our time in prayer. Father, thank you again that we have the privilege to call you Father, that we can humbly each day go to the very throne room of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and know that you're not asleep and that you don't slumber. And Lord, to know that you care so much about us that even you know the numbers of hair on our head. And to know, Lord, that you desire friendship with us more than our service. And Lord, I pray that we as men would be passionate about developing that friendship with you. So Lord, take us all to higher ground, and I pray that this session would move us to our knees, would move us to you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to just give you a thought and question tonight. Are you delighting in the Word of God? You know, we started passion for God. Are you delighting in the Word of God? Is there any benefits to delighting in the Word of God? This is what the Bible says in Psalms 112, verse 1. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his law. You know, if I ask you tonight, do you want to be blessed? I think every hand would go up. Did you hear the two conditions to being blessed? You must be a man that fears God, and you must be a man that delights in his word. That's the benefit of delighting in God's word. I think of the other verse in Psalms 119. Those who love thy law have great peace. Nothing causes them to stumble. He didn't say those that read my word, those that love my word have what? Great peace. One of the greatest gifts God gave us, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and Prince of Peace, is peace. But you're not going to experience that without delighting in the Word of God. Now, as we delight in the Word of God, that teaches us to form a relationship that goes much deeper than that. And that's the school of prayer. So I want to talk about that tonight. Prayer is more than an exercise or a spiritual discipline. It is our life. It's not a burden. It's not a duty. I think we don't understand what that privilege is, man. We don't understand in the Old Testament that only one man was selected once a year to go into the Holy of Holies. And all the criteria that had to be met in order for that man to do that, that priest to do that. Today, as priests, we get the privilege to go into the Holy of Holies any moment, any time. What an awesome privilege. You know, we said last week that prayer reflects our dependence on God. Do you daily call out to God? Is your life an example of a man that says, I need you, God, so I'm going to spend time in prayer? And I think prayer reflects our friendship with God. There's no question. What you love, you spend time doing. Who you love, you spend time with. Can we say, oh, I love God, and spend a whole day and not talk to him? Friendship. It's the heart of what God desires in prayer. And then I think that anybody that prays knows this. Prayer will change you. Have you ever wanted someone else to change and you began to pray for them? That person never changed. You changed. That's the power of prayer. I like what William Carey says. To pray is to change. Prayer is the central avenue God uses to transform us. If we are unwilling to change, we will abandon prayer as a noticeable characteristic in our lives. Prayer, secret, fervent, believing prayer, lies at the root of all personal godliness. That's so true. Prayer changes us. It changes our whole perspective for the day, for life. It is the key. Tonight, I want to just talk about Acts. And I just want to use this as a form to teach us maybe how to pray. I remember the first Slavic CTL that I did. We were doing this prayer session, and I challenged us to go back to our teams and pray. Now, the Slavics had learned that when you pray, you say amen, and once you said amen, you don't pray again. So in our group, we prayed. I prayed again. I prayed again, and they're kind of going, what? So they began to do this new thing. I want to say tonight that what we're going to propose is maybe some of us are in a rut with prayer, and we're not understanding some of the greatest benefits of prayer or the proper perspective of prayer. And I believe that Acts will help us understand that. A stands for adoration. I don't know about you, but a lot of times when you listen to people pray, you think they're talking to a person. We forget that we're talking to God. I love David. He understood adoration. Adoration is understanding and knowing who God is. The Lord is high. He's above all nations. Our God reigns. He is above all gods. He is the God that created the universe. When I come to God with my headache, what is a headache compared to a God that created the world? It gets things in perspective. And men, sometimes we need to go out in the mountains. We need to get out of the city. And we need to see the glory of God. And I see David sitting out there looking at God's majesty, His power. When you understand that power, you begin to understand who you're praying to and what that God can do. You know, men, I don't know about you, but I believe that God loves to be recognized for who He is. And you love it when someone recognizes you for who you are. And we start prayer off with adoring God, recognizing who He is. It helps us get a proper perspective instead of just coming and saying, here I am, God, with another need. The next part of prayer that is so important is confession. I don't know about you, but we have to not only know who God is, we have to know who we are. This is interesting. The Bible says this in Psalm 66:18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. I learned something from my dad, really powerful, about prayer. There's a lot of prayers that we're praying that God doesn't hear. And the only prayer that God hears of a pagan is the prayer of repentance. That's the only prayer that He hears. And as Christians, if we have iniquity in our heart, the Bible says He won't hear us. How about this one? Proverbs 28:9. The man who turns his ear from hearing God's word, his prayer is an abomination. Do you know Christians who have turned away from listening to God's word? Until they repent, their prayer is an abomination to God. I think of Daniel. There's a lot of Bible characters. Daniel, to me, is one of the top four or five in the Bible. You don't read about mistakes, and the Bible doesn't ignore the mistakes of people. We see the mistakes of many men in the Bible, and it points it out. I don't do that with Daniel. I don't see them. And yet Daniel says these words in Daniel 9:20, while I was praying and confessing my sin, Daniel, and the sin of Israel, my people. Even Daniel, in his prayer time, had a time where he said, God, is there something in me that needs to be right? Man, I don't know about you, but I struggle with so many things, and God wants me to make sure those things are in proper perspective. You ever been to a prayer meeting, and someone called on someone to pray, and they said, you know, I'm not ready to pray. I'm not right with God. It would be appropriate to say that. I have unconfessed sin in my life. If I pray, it ain't going past the ceiling, Pastor. Oh, we need to take this seriously in our prayer life. The next part of prayer is T for thanksgiving. But the Bible says, in everything give thanks. For this is God's will concerning you and me. Why do we give thanks? Because if you believe, like I do, God is sovereign. Therefore, nothing happens without God allowing it to happen. The test of my faith is, in the midst of something terrible, I can praise God. Because I know that God will not bring anything my way that I can't handle. In everything give thanks. You know what I like to do at prayer meetings? I like to say, we're not going to have any requests tonight. We're only going to thank God. Go. Man, I don't know where you are in the area of your life of being thankful, but I believe that one of the greatest keys to the abundant life, to the spirit-filled life, is a man with a thankful spirit. It is absolutely essential. And prayer ought to be that place where praise and thanksgiving flows daily from our hearts. Supplication, S, is the last one. And we want to look at praying prayers because most of my prayers are very self-centered. And I soon discovered that, you know what, if I want to pray God's will, then the best thing I must do is pray God's word. You know what I like at a prayer meeting? I like people to open the Bible. And I like them to pray God's word. Then I know that I'm praying God's will. Do you know how many times we ask God for things that are contrary to His will? And we wonder why our prayer life is ineffective? My dad was sharing when he was years ago in a prayer meeting, a young man said to him, "Pray for my son. He's getting married. He's marrying a non-Christian." My dad said, "I can't pray for that. That's contrary to God's will." The Bible says you're not to be unequally yoked. Here we are asking God to bless something that God tells us not to do. If we would stop and think, I've stopped and thought, what am I saying to God? Sometimes I ask God for something and he's kind of just laughing, saying, "Steve, why are you asking me for that? I gave it to you. It's in your possession. Quit asking me for it." Learning as I grow in this prayer journey to start thinking about what I'm saying when I'm praying. And God says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and I will give it to you. What you know what's special to your dad. If your dad's got an antique car and he never drives it as a son, you're not going to ask him to take it to school. You know the answer before you ask. We should know the heart of God. And when we come to him, we should know the answer before we ask. The other part that we just mentioned at the last session just touched on is prayer is listening to God. Oh, so much of the time we're talking, and one of the beautiful things of prayer is, "God, I'm going to go for a walk right now, and I just want to listen to you. What do you want me to do today? Who do you want me to visit? Is there any relationship, Lord, that isn't right that you want me to deal with? Lord, I just want to be still. I want to hear your voice." It's in the stillness that people meet God and hear God. It's not in the busyness and noisiness of life. Last week's emphasis was on individual patterns. This is going to be corporate patterns. I want to talk tonight about a prayer pattern, praying with your wife. When I first started CTI, I thought my vision is seeing men in the Word, walking in moral purity, praying every day with their wife. People that pray together stay together. I thought, you know what? I'll just challenge the man. Pray every day with your wife and it'll get done and that's no problem. You know, this is a major mountain, a real struggle for a lot of men, praying with their wives. It's no wonder marriages are where they are. But you know what? I've prayed with a lot of people I have never met to this day when I've asked someone, "May I pray for you?" And they've said, "Don't you pray for me." No one's ever done that. You might not go home tonight and start this journey of praying with your wife, but I want to encourage you to go home and start praying for her. And maybe it's in the morning before you leave to work. But you find a time where it's regular. When you get out of bed, if she stays in bed, you pray a blessing on her. And I want to just kind of show you what that might look like as I do that with my wife. As I'm getting up, ready to go, as I used to get up and leave and go to work, I used to just stand there at the door and I'd pray something like this: "Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the wife that you have blessed me with, and I pray today, God, that you would bless her, that you would give her wisdom as she works with our children, patience as she works with our children, and Lord, give her strength. And may she enjoy her time in the Word today. And may you draw us closer to one another and most of all closer to you." In Jesus' name, amen. A simple prayer that takes less than 40 seconds. And my wife feels loved and valued. Men, this ministry is turning the hearts of men toward God, but we're talking about leading. And if we're going to leave a legacy, that legacy is with your wife and your children. And if you don't have your wife on the same team, there will be no legacy. And I can't think of anything that two people could do together more to get on the same team than enter into the school of prayer. And as men, it's our duty to lead in that endeavor and have our wives go there with us. So I'm going to challenge you. Start praying with her and then move into times where the two of you pray for your family and for other things. Satan isn't concerned about a couple that doesn't know how to pray. But when that couple comes together and discovers the power of unity and agreeing, two can put many to flight and the enemy knows it. So let's look at that and work on that. Another pattern that we want to look at is family. I love to do things with my family. I love to pray for my children. I pray for their future spouses. Who they marry will be absolutely crucial for the legacy that God wants in our family. I like to have family prayer nights. We used to drive on vacation. I'd pray when we go on vacation, but I said, "This is stupid. I'm just calling out to God when we go on a long trip. I need God when I go downtown." So right now, when you get in our car and you pull out on Forker Road, someone always prays. It's a habit. It's a pattern that we do. You know what? I said, man, our family, when I was raised, we praised around the table. That was a pattern. Dad would go out to a restaurant, sit in right in the middle and pray as loud as he could. Now, that was Dad. You know, and that was a pattern that we did. I wanted to establish patterns because you know what? A pattern's going to show up. I see it. You go to the hospital, a guy's got 1 hour to live. And what's the whole family? Standing around his bed looking up at the corner at a black box. Because that's what they did as a family. And that's all they know. Man, my last hours, I want to be blessing my children. I want to be praising God, and I want to be praying with them. Amen? Usher from this place to that place in the presence of God. But men, we have to create those environments to pray with our family. Another pattern, I want to look at the church. God said, my house shall be called a place of prayer. In the old days, every church was never locked because there was always availability because people could go to that church to pray. The apostles went up the third hour, the sixth hour, the ninth hour to pray. Men, you can go to church early and you can sit out there in the sanctuary and you can tell your family, we're going to pray. We're going to pray that we'll be ready. I love it when I go to church and the pastor's done speaking. There's people at the altar. Or after a time, we're praying and somebody just comes up and says this. I say, let's pray right here. This church building, you should see people praying everywhere, all the time in this place. This is the heartbeat of God. I share this story on the power of prayer. I think you'll enjoy it as much as I did. When construction began on a bar in a small town, the local church started a campaign on prayers and petitions to stop it. 1 week before the bar was opening, lightning struck the building and it burned to the ground. The bar owner sued the church, saying that the prayers were responsible for the loss of the building. The church, through its lawyer, denied any responsibility. When the case came to the first court, the hearing judge looked over the paperwork and said, I don't know how I'm going to decide this. We have a bar owner who believes in the power of prayer and a church that doesn't. God hears and answers prayer. Do we believe it? Another pattern that we want to do with prayer is, men, we are coming together and we're meeting. And as men, at the bottom of your team timeout is a time to pray. There's a place there so that when the team members, your team members, give their prayer requests, you can write down what the request is. One of the greatest joys about CTL is I'm going on a journey where I'm being authentic, I'm being real. I know that men are going to be praying for me. Wow, powerful. So you've got a place. And I hope that the rest of your life, you will have men that you can call at any time and say, I need prayer. And you know that those men will pray. You know, one of the things that I began to do, when people come to me and said, will you pray for me? I used to say yes, and I never prayed for them. That's lying. That's being dishonest. When people ask me to pray for them right now, I stop right there and pray with them. And I say, as often as God brings you to my heart, I'm going to lift you before the throne of God. I hope that you will enjoy deepening your prayer life with the other men on your team. Another thing that we talk about, a pattern for prayer, is we pray for our leaders, those in authority. We're exhorted, therefore, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving it thanks be made for all men, for kings, for all those that are in authority. All those in authority. Do you have a place when you're driving to work where you're praying for your boss? Do you pray for your pastor? Do you pray for those people that God has placed over you? When I think of this next picture, we should be praying for our leaders every day. Do you pray for them? I had a newspaper when I was traveling the airport, and in that newspaper that someone left was a picture of the Supreme Court. I stuck it in my Bible. I want to pray for those people. They're making decisions that impact our country. Are we praying for them? Prayer changes thing. It's the most powerful weapon we have. But if our retired folks would spend more time praying for this nation instead of watching TV, maybe our nation wouldn't be where it is. Prayer is powerful. We need to use it. The other thing that I want to exhort you today is, do you have an unsaved list? You know, this is one of the things people come and say, pray for my uncle, my grandpa, that my friend, they're not saved. You know what? I can pray with confidence that it's God's will that none should perish. I'm praying God's will for that man or that woman or that child to be saved. Do you have a list of people and you're going before the throne? I have a guy I've been praying for years. He left his family, went off and pursued his own things. I saw him about 7 years ago, and I said to him, you know something? I want you to know I'm praying for your salvation. He said, you must be, because the wife that I married, she's a Christian. She's become a Christian. Pray for the unsaved. And then the other thing that I really want to encourage you about prayer is, I don't know about you, but there's so much to learn about prayer. How are you going to learn? From people who have been in the school of prayer. I got my hands on any books I can, especially guys that really understand the power of prayer. And I read a lot of those things. There are materials available. This is something Kathy and I had used for a while, 31 biblical virtues to pray for your kids. So each night, we took one virtue here, and we prayed it over our children. And this is www.praymag.com. Here's another one, how to pray for people in authority. Stick it in your Bible when you're praying for your pastor. Here's a way to pray. I use different tools, not only books, but I use reminders to pray. I wear this because my daughter made it for me. I put it on every day. It's a reminder to pray for her purity, to pray for her future husband, to pray for my daughter. There are things that you can use to help you in the school of prayer. We should be praying the armor of God on every day. We're in a war. Do we pray it on? Do we know the armor? Maybe you could pray it on every day when you what? Standing in the shower. Pray on the armor of God. Prayer is not a gift that a few people or chosen people possess. It is an act that we decide to do. It's like taking a bath. We don't have to be gifted or specifically called to take a bath, we just do it because we realize the need. Both praying and bathing are things we must decide to do, but we ourselves and others close to us are affected by the choice we make. People will know if you've been praying. They will know. They will see it in your lives. So I want to encourage you, use tools to grow. Now, when you look at the things that we want to accomplish here, it can be overwhelming. So you might leave here and go, what am I going to do? Well, last week we gave you one challenge. Did you do it? Did you spend time daily on your knees? That's the only challenge we gave you. And we're hoping that in 3 months, 3 weeks or less, there'll be a time where you are on your knees every day before God. That's a habit. We're hoping that you will develop habits in your church, in your prayer life. We're hoping that you'll develop it in your family. But start small and begin to do something. But the one habit, men, that I really hope you'll do is that you'll be faithful to pray with your wife every day. Every day, you'll be faithful. And then I want to encourage you, if there's books to read outside the Bible, find a book on prayer. You know, as I came here to Linden last week, it was really strange. I believe God directs our steps, don't you? And I was down in the store, and there was this man, and I just got to visit with him, and it didn't take me long to realize that he was a Christian. And then I said, you've got a book over there on your shelf. What is it? It says, The Art of Seeking God. I said, what's that about? It says, Developing a Mighty and Effective Prayer Life. I thought to myself, I wonder what that man has to say about prayer. So I got the book. He says, this used to be my pastor. He died. He was a man of prayer. Man, I read this book this last week. I could summarize it by this. This book is what CTL is all about. It's going to the higher ground with God in the school of prayer and His Word. This book convicted me and challenged me. It's been one of my greatest reads. Here it is, right in Linden, ready for you. And these are tools that God has given us that can help us in our journey of prayer. And I hope that you and I will never be satisfied where we are in our relationship with God. And our prayer life will grow and grow. Just like men, the moment I get satisfied in my marriage, I'm in trouble. Oh, my marriage is great. I'm in trouble. I'm not satisfied where I am spiritually with God. I want to move to higher ground. Guess what that involves? That involves more time in the Word and talking and communing with God face to face and seeking Him. So that's the journey we're on. I pray that as we go tonight, we're going to go to our teams and we're going to shift gears. We're going to go and we're just going to practice praying and we're going to use Acts as a group and just do that together. Then we'll come back and we'll share our water. We'll share our Semper Fi and prayer requests, and then we'll talk about this subject of prayer and how we're going to appropriate it in our lives and apply it. God bless you as you go to your teams.